Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Virtue signaling.
Virtue signaling who?
Hashtag not my doctor.
Oh, there come the downvotes. Might be a new record.
Well, it's Tuesday, July 25th, and we really don't care about the female doctor. That's just clickbait.
Yeah, that's just the news. I mean, you know, there's Doctor Who, if you don't know, has a female in the lead for the first time in the show's, what, gosh, like 50-year run?
And that's not the news. The news is people are pissed.
Seems like an awful, I mean, I just, why would you be pissed? Like, why does it, I just don't even care. Like, I was kind of upset when Kate Pulaski came on to replace Beverly Crusher. So, I mean, maybe hashtag not my doctor in that scenario too. I don't know.
Well, it's nostalgia. You know, they're stepping on your nostalgia to get a response, and it's working. You know, hey, listen, if you're tweeting hashtag not my doctor, congratulations on giving them that free advertising campaign. But who else is stepping on our nostalgia?
Atari, check this out. Oh, this is kind of a follow-up. We've got a bunch of follow-ups in this week's news story, but the Atari box, because, yeah, that's a really great name.
Now, when we first talked about this, all the comments were like, no, Atari's not going retro. They've already got a bunch of retro boxes. Well, they're going retro.
Well, this is retro nouveau. So this is like new technology. And yes, you can play the old Atari games, but this is going to be your new media player set-top box. And it's going to do all this stuff that's not video game playing.
Well, they are going to offer new video games, but they haven't said anything about what they are. Just, hey, we're going to make new games too. So I don't know what kind of horsepower it's got. They're not telling you much about the hardware or anything about it. Just it's pretty and you're going to be able to play Pitfall.
Probably also the E.T. game, because that totally does not belong in a landfill.
I wonder if, because your target audience, like, I just barely caught the Atari when I was young. And I, like, that's a rough nostalgia demographic to hit right now. Because if you're in your 50s, are you really going to run out and buy this?
I had a Nintendo, but it just did not. I mean, there was an Atari, and then I think there was a Nintendo later, but the Atari did not capture my imagination the way the Nintendo did. So for me personally, the Atari just doesn't have the nostalgia magic, even though I did play a lot of Atari games.
Yeah, it really was like the magical crossover point was the NES. Like it got good enough as like, oh,
I can understand this.
Yeah,
now.
I can suspend disbelief to this amount. But we'll see.
Also, kind of a follow-up. Facebook, they're doing a paywall for selected media stories as soon as October. Now, I think we just mentioned this last time, but the surprising thing in this follow-up is that their timeline for this is so rapid. This is not an experiment. They're actually going to do this.
Yeah, this is more about, so they want to serve content from places that have paywalls, like the Wall Street Journal. And so they have to work something out. It's like, well, how do we give them the same news and not make them... They don't want you to click away from Facebook and face a paywall. They want you to pay them. They also don't want to do business with Apple or Google to take your money. So it's not clear how you're going to pay Facebook for this. Are you going to have a credit card on file with Facebook? I'm sure they would love that.
Yeah, you know, reading between the lines in the article, and this is the thing that really makes it interesting for the news here that we're talking about, is that I think Facebook, based on this and some other stuff that have happened, this is totally rumor and totally not anything that they've officially announced, I think. It looks as if Facebook is gearing up not to be their own app store, but to actually maybe handle micropayments and microtransactions for websites.
They also are going to give you 10 free per month. At least that's the idea now. And so that brings up an interesting point. Like if you give me a shortened link or something, you know, like a tiny URL, and it burns one of my Facebook views, it's like, oh, you've cost me 0.5 cents.
It would be an interesting business move for Facebook to do this because, you know, Facebook is too late to the ad game. The whole timeline ads is not as effective as AdSense, or at least based on the carefully manipulated data that Google releases. It looks like Google's advertising platform is still vastly more successful than what Facebook offers, even though Facebook claims, you know, a billion active users or whatever. But in terms of like streamlining the payment processors for companies that want to offer paywalled content, then, you know, maybe this is a low friction option. Maybe people will actually embrace and run with this in a way that they haven't with Apple Pay or Google Pay or any of the other things.
Not to mention, this creates an opportunity for, you know, the news sources to paywall their content without any investment in their own infrastructure, which is kind of terrifying.
We make it easy for you to charge money for your content. Yeah, thanks to our patrons for making this episode available in a podcast format. You can find a link in the footer on the Level One Text website. That was totally planned, I promise. AMD has confirmed it will not open source the EPYC platform security processor code. Now, this is something that I have said from the beginning, but a lot of people pointed to tweets and posts on Reddit and things like that where they were like, well, we're looking into it. We'll check it out, maybe. And some people read a little bit too much into that. But now I'm sort of going to go the other way and say, just because they're not going to open their platform security processor, I mean, look, they don't exclusively have the rights to all of the components of that to even be able to do that in the first place. But that doesn't mean that you can't run third-party firmware on it. It's kind of like the situation between Libreboot, which will give you, you know, it's sort of an open source UEFI for certain pieces of hardware, and say, you know, Gigabyte or Asus or somebody completely opening up their UEFI code. Just because they're not going to open up their UEFI code does not mean that you cannot get something else to run there.
If you're not hip to what this is, it is a processor that runs on your machine, but you have no access to. Intel has the management engine, and that's been in the news lately, being hacked a lot, especially in the enterprise, where that's the big use for this. Is like, oh, I have to manage 500, 5,000 computers. I can use this processor that's on board and do things to the computers without having permission in each computer. But think about the implications of that. You don't need permissions to do things to the computer. And so Intel's had some issues with security, and people say you need to open the source so that we can look at it and make sure that you don't have these same problems. But AMD says, no, we're not going to do that.
Let me lay it out for you. You can remote into a computer, install the operating system, expect memory contents, the whole nine yards, completely surreptitiously in a completely automated kind of fashion. If you're a single system administrator dealing with 5,000 desktop computers, that sounds great. If you're a home user trying to defend against malware and state-sponsored threats, it's less than awesome. We mentioned this before. The Porn ID is set to start in April of 2018. If you caught the news last week, it was in Russia. This is actually the UK, so these things are happening sort of simultaneously across the pond.
This is the Digital Economy Act. This is not the only thing it does, but it's certainly the headline you want to go with. So one thing they have, well, a lot of things they haven't figured out about this, which is everything. They don't know how they're going to restrict it.
It's like encryption backdoors.
Yeah. How do you know if the person is 18? And one of the answers they're saying is use a credit card. So you have to give away your credit card number even if you don't get charged to see porn. Yeah, I can't see that going bad at all. Can you?
Well, you could just key in your passport number or your driver's license number.
Well, they don't have that technology over there yet. That was Russia. So now the other big thing that this story buries is this Digital Economy Act is not just about porn. It also goes after people who buy up concert tickets with bots, which is, I guess that's bad. I'll support that.
But first they came for the concert bot concert ticket buyers, and I said nothing.
But the big one that's always at the end of these stories is, for a copyright violation, instead of a 2-year prison term, that's now 10.
10 years for pirating music and movies. Good Lord.
One episode of Game of Thrones. Good luck. A decade of your life.
And kind of a follow-up, but kind of also new information and sort of a developing story about the sex robots that we talked about the last episode. Apparently, the new sex robots that are being manufactured, like, this is a thing, apparently. This is an industry much farther along than we assumed.
Don't you think she looks kind of terrified? Do you think they sourced that image for that purpose?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's a mode called frigid mode, which apparently allows men to simulate rape.
Well, that's a good headline. So the idea with frigid mode, according to the makers, is that this is a girl who's not just going to give it up. So, you know, she's not slutty. When you begin your advances on her, she's not into it right away. You got to sort of like work your way in. Now, of course, the opponents are saying, that sounds like a rapist, you know? And it's like, can a robot be raped? There was a lot of debate. The last time we talked about this, was that last week?
Yeah, I think it was last week.
It was the idea was like child sex robots. Mm. And it's like,
turns out that was already a thing, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, this is a very gray line. And, you know, I got to err on the side of freedom here. I mean, nobody's being hurt, but it is really weird and disgusting.
Yeah, I don't. As a computer scientist, I'm completely unequipped to deal with this situation. And it's like, oh no, wait, about what? What about the technology side of things? It's like, I don't know. I don't know.
These guys also have they name all of their. It's an alliteration, so it was like, what was the? This the other one is Young Yoko, and Young Yoko is, oh yeah, it's like Frigid Farah. Frigid Farah was the rape one. And Young Yoko is a barely 18 version. And so she's like, you know, bubbly and innocent. And so, yeah, it's, oh, and you get all of these when you purchase one of these sex bots, by the way. It's like a switch in the back. It's like, what encounter do I want tonight?
I wonder how standardized the industry is going to become. I mean, it's easy to imagine that in 6 months or a year, maybe it's already the case, you could get interchangeable parts. You could have like the furry version or the lolly version or whatever.
Well, I mean, these girls have realistic proportions. You could just put a fursuit on them. I mean, nothing's going to stop you from doing that.
I was thinking about like the disproportionate anime eyes and like articulated fox ears or whatever. I don't know.
And that might be a way to get around it. Because we had like in some parts of the world, you have crazy gun laws where like black guns, which are scary, are not allowed, but wooden furniture is okay. So it's like, fine, give me the anime eyes. You know, that's like, that's what makes it legal.
The anime eyes make it legal. Yeah. You heard it here first on Level 1 News. facial recognition is coming to police body cameras. So the computation and AI necessary for portable face recognition is basically here. And, you know, it's like, can you imagine just walking along and somebody running your complete history? It's like, oh, I see you live here. And you've had 3 parking violations and, you know, whatever else you've got going on.
Yeah. We did talk about this, I don't remember how long ago it was, about the facial recognition can basically be put in almost any camera now. And it is so good, you can put it in these tiny little body cameras with these incredible battery lives, and it still is fine. I think most of the recognition is going on, you know, like back home. It's piping the video back somewhere, but still, that's going to be huge. At any point when you're walking down the street, if there's any reason the state doesn't like you, they will immediately know.
Well, at least we've got, you know, Verizon's data caps to maybe stifle that technology.
Somehow I think they'll give them a pass.
Yeah. Ontario has given $1.5 million to Carrot Rewards to help people make healthy choices. Now, this is an investment in an application. This is not giving cash money to people to make healthy choices. This is an app that encourages people to make healthy choices, and they get points and some other stuff.
Yeah, the points go toward, like, discounts and airline miles, I think, might have been one of them. But, you know, like, there are a lot of apps where it's like, hey, watch this ad and we'll give you X. Well, this one is saying, watch this movie about healthy eating and we'll give you X. Walk a certain number of steps. It's got a pedometer in it. So it's like, hey, you hit your step goal today. Have some frequent flyer miles. Here's the problem, though. As soon as they, and it's called Carrot. So it's like, Carrot, that's a healthy food. That makes sense, right? But as soon as they figured out that this thing was working, they had like 200,000 users and they were constantly interacting with it, they're like, oh, let's put some state sponsored messages in there. Let's use this for some other things and not just healthy eating. And it's like, wait a minute, maybe this is the carrot and the unspoken stick is also there.
So we're tracking you. This story has a scary parallel to that app that we learned about from China, where it was tracking the good and bad habits of the citizen.
The credit score.
You get like good boy points in China or whatever.
How many carrot points do you think I can trade in for some tendies?
I just, it's like, we meant well with this, but we accidentally built a really fine-grained database on all of our citizens.
Yeah, and it takes political stances, you know, based on the ruling party, what they want and stuff like that. It's a little scary, so
I want to stick an iPhone 7 in a paint mixer at a hardware store and see how that affects the pedometer.
So this gives you a message like, calm down.
I have restless leg syndrome. It's fine. It's fine. Many firms are AI washing claims of intelligent products. Oh, this story is great. So it's like you have a product and it's not really doing so well. And you just market it as having used artificial intelligence as part of the thing. And then all the press picks it up. It's like, wow, you're using artificial intelligence to solve problems. Woo.
Yeah, So they're saying they looked at a bunch of products that had AI in the selling points or on the packaging or whatever. And it was like, wait a minute, that's In some ways, you might be able to argue that that's AI, but not really. They compare this to something called greenwashing, which is where you take some sort of environmentally friendly or healthy thing about your product and you plaster it all over the packaging, but it's like not really that, or that was a given. And I'll give you a great example. Orville Redenbacher popcorn, right? Go to wherever you shop for food and find Orville Redenbacher popcorn. On most of the packaging, it says gluten-free. Corn glutens? All popcorn is gluten-free. But they put it on the packaging because, you know, people are like, "Ooh, I shouldn't eat popcorn glutens. I'll get this."
My goodness. Well, if AI is going to go rogue, it should totally take a sedan off the road and, you know, with a family of five in the Tesla autopilot. Oh, wait, no, they updated the story. It wasn't the autopilot at all. This is a non-story except for the sequence of events. So there was a guy driving a Tesla, and the Tesla ended up upside down in a marsh off the side of the road. Now, nobody was killed. It was minor injuries. But when the police talked to the guy, he's like, "It was autopilot. I don't know what happened." And then it wasn't autopilot.
Yeah. When you read this guy's mea culpa comment, it almost sounds like there's a gun to his head. So you get a feeling that he got a call from, you know, Tesla's legal team, and they're like, "You realize there's a box in your car that's going to tell us exactly what happened, right?" And he was like, "Oh, that was my fault. I was accelerating. That disabled the cruise control. It was my fault. My fault."
Interesting. It makes you wonder how much data the Tesla vehicles log. I mean, do they have like a real-time video feed of the inside of the car?
Even regular cars record things like that in a short period of time. I don't know how long it goes without overriding itself, but like they can tell how fast you're going at the time of a collision and stuff like that. You know, if it comes down to it, they can figure that out in nicer cars. And with Tesla, like still trying to work out the kinks with the autopilot, I bet they log everything.
The more data they have on autopilot, the better the autopilot can be. So it's sort of the creepy bad situation, good situation. I don't know. You know who else is trying to justify net neutrality? Now, we haven't talked about net neutrality yet. We're going to get into net neutrality again because there's a lot of great net neutrality stories. But the perfect lead into that is, of course, the self-driving cars like the Teslas and everything else need the FCC to eliminate net neutrality because it stifles innovation with self-driving cars being able to communicate with each other over the internet. What?
Now, this is from a Comcast paper where they were laying out why net neutrality is such a horrible thing. It's going to stifle self-driving cars, right? Well, no, that's not right. So self-driving cars, and this is a little bit terrifying. We've talked about this before too. Self-driving cars communicate with each other wirelessly. So it's like a mesh network. And they're constantly like, it's a whole system where imagine there's a huge five-car pileup a mile ahead of you on the road. Then the cars that are in a wreck are like, "Oh God, wreck." And the cars just behind them are like, "I'm braking heavily. I'm braking heavily." And that trickles back to your car. It's like, "Whoa, watch out. Some shit's going down up here on the highway." But none of that uses any sort of wireless internet. I mean, would you trust wireless internet to broadcast that? They broadcast it through each of the cars, and it's all connected through that.
Yeah, this technology, when you actually go down the rabbit hole on the specific technology here, it's super, super interesting because it's basically a modified version of the same technology that has been developed with aircraft. So this is not really a super new technology. There are super new aspects of the technology, but a lot of the aircraft-to-aircraft communication that we've been doing for years, decades in some cases, for some aspects of the technology, they're adapting for ground-based vehicles as well. So this is something that was officially submitted to the FCC, like as if Comcast is a company that knows what they're doing. And I can't imagine what on earth they're talking about, except to AstroTurf, somebody that is even dumber than the person that wrote the article.
Interestingly, the spectrum that this communication uses, for years, the wireless companies have been going after it. They're like, "You must give us this spectrum for private use. It's no good to anybody." But it is good for well, I mean, I don't know. It's like, it's good for, you know, five-car pileups, but it's bad for constantly being tracked because they will know once, and it's already been ruled that this goes into effect like October 2018 or something like that. Every new car must have it, and they will know everything that you do at all times because all the other cars on the road will be tattling on you at all times.
Yes. So things like vehicle position, if you wander out of your lane, these are the kinds of things that you can determine from the data that the cars will be transmitting, not just your car, but also the cars around you as well. So
now when you have these insane papers that are written that seem like who's the audience for this? Who's writing this? Who thought this was a good idea? And why are they doing it? Who's funding it? Where is this money coming from? You have to ask all these questions.
Well, I think most congressmen realize that they're too ignorant to do anything about this. So instead, they rely on the lobbyists. And who is paying the lobbyists? Google, Apple, and Amazon have hit record lobbying highs.
Now, it's important to note that it's not just Google, Apple, and Amazon. And of course, Uber's got to be in the mix there.
These are quarterly figures.
Yeah, it's everybody. But these guys are hitting some insane numbers. Just look at that. That's incredible.
5.93 million for Google in just the past quarter. Jesus. That's completely, completely insane. You know, Uber's the really surprising one at $430,000. Like, really, what are you doing, Uber? What are you doing? What are you doing that you need that? Is that part of the automation thing? I mean, I don't know.
Well, that might be like the whole, hey, listen, we sexually harass some people. But leave us alone, right?
I guess we'd have to look at their historical averages or something.
But it is, you got to think. I mean, yes, Google has a lot of money, but the idea that you're on top and you can spend $60 million to keep the wolves at bay, you know, of competition, it's a terrible system. We have to do something about it.
You start to think of the people in government less as elected officials and more as like the people that deal with other people who might complain about things. It's like, look, we as a business, we need to do this. You need to facilitate that.
It's the sheriff of Nottingham.
Well, this is kind of a follow-up, but also kind of very sad. The U.S. Appeals Court has upheld a gag order on FBI surveillance data. So this has been a long unfolding story that we have often reported on as things have been happening. This is the kind of situation where an ISP or a service provider gets a request for information about a subscriber or set of subscribers. And that request for information also includes a provision that no one can know about it. Not just the target, but also basically everybody. Sometimes even these companies' lawyers are not really even allowed to know about the particulars of the order.
So a couple of these companies sued and said, hey, these are our customers. If we're going to give you this information, we have the right to tell our customers about it. And this ruling says, no, you don't.
Wow, that's just, I mean, we got problems. I mean, you have to do this stuff in the light. You can't do this stuff in the dark. Otherwise, it will be corrupted and twisted and the meaning will be perverted. I mean, that seems like that's basic. Like whether you're in America or Russia or Europe or China or anywhere, transparency is accountability.
Now, this next story, if you wonder how paywalling of news could affect you, just think about how it affects your favorite weekly YouTube news roundup show. So this is a story about the Chinese firewall, and they have this incredible new ability that once you start sending an image, before the image even finishes sending, or video, they can delete it. But there were two sources for this story, the Wall Street Journal and the Australian. And both are paywalled. We cannot show you these stories. It's true. China's doing this, but we can't actually show you a source. I'm sorry.
It is a really cool piece of technology that you have real-time interception of image and video content, and you're able to recognize it in real time and say, oh, that looks like something that's not allowed. So like the banana eating streams, which I think have been banned in China. It's like you can't eat a banana on Twitch or Twitch-like services anymore. So now, presumably, the software can be altered or will be altered so that the sensors are looking at it or the software is looking at it. It's like, this is a match positive for eating a banana. Let's just block that.
Now, they did report that for a little while, turning the video or image sideways could beat it. But it seems like they're catching on to that. And so now that's not working as much anymore.
That has been resolved. That's really not good. So in America, we have a cellular data network from what feels like 1975. And the Department of Homeland Security recently did an audit on it. It's like, well, you know, what if we get some terrorists that, you know, have a 1985 education in technology and want to target our cellular network, which is made out of baling wire and duct tape? And yeah, it was pretty bad. The report was pretty bad. And now telecom lobbyists are downplaying this as a theoretical security flaw in the mobile data backbone.
Now, this has to do with when you're roaming. So, you know, when you have a wireless carrier and then you move outside of that area and somebody else picks it up and they have these deals with each other, that's called roaming. Well, it turns out there is no authentication when something is sent out along those roaming networks. It's just like, hey, this person's roaming, send this to them. And they're like, okay, I'm not going to ask you who you are. I'm just going
to
do it.
Sounds good to me.
Now, I don't
think... Your number's what again? Okay.
Yeah, and this is called SS7. So outside of America, I don't know if it's ever been used here, but outside of America, it's been used actually to get somebody's two-factor. So you sort of, you know...
it's definitely been used in America.
Oh, it has?
Yeah.
So it's a real thing, but these lobbyists are like, oh, this is theoretical. This is fine. You're focusing too much on the negative here.
The mobile data network, look, the mobile data network is much more sophisticated in many other countries other than America, and they have been negatively impacted by these kinds of things. The replacement technology has existed for years. I mean, there was one report that I read a few months ago that said that we expected the secure, authenticated, cryptographically verified version of this technology to be rolled out by like 2001. And of course, it has not been rolled out for whatever reason. This is an insanely bad problem. Don't believe the lobbyists, and definitely don't use text messages or anything like that for your two-factor, because your provider's security is terrible. The network security itself is terrible. If you don't believe me, go to DEF CON. Take your real work phone to DEF CON and just turn it on and just wait. And you will see how bad and how crazy things are at DEF CON.
Now, the other claim they made, which is insane, is that, hey, Homeland Security, by releasing this paper, you've actually weakened it, because now people are going to see that this is possible and they're going to do it more. Like, that was actually their argument. It's kind of ridiculous. But it shows you how much power these lobby groups have, because they are totally comfortable just saying, hey, Homeland Security, you're wrong for doing this. Shut up.
And it's not just the criminals are doing it. I mean, if we're worried about terrorists doing it, doesn't it stand to reason that they already know? I mean, they have their own technical people, presumably.
Well, they know now, thanks to Homeland Security. Good job, guys.
How crazy would that be? It's like your ISIS tech support. It's like, hello, thank you. It's like, oh, have you tried turning it off and on again?
ISIS tech support. There would have to be like 10 minutes of praise Allah. By his permission, what is your problem? It would be really verbose.
Exclusive, CNN has witnessed the U.S. Navy's drone killing laser. The video on this is awesome. You know, it needs captions that just say, witness me, for the entire duration of the video.
This thing is called LAWS, which is laser weapon system. And it's not a super powerful laser. It can shoot down drones, and it can disable small boats by hitting, you know, like pinpointing weak spots on them. But it's not like, you're not going to be doing ship-to-ship battles with this thing. But it's very good in terms of economics, because it's $1 per shot.
Yeah.
So you think, hey, you got a drone coming at you that might have a bad payload. You know what? Spend the dollar. So now they are working on the follow-up, which they say is going to be good enough for a missile, which clearly will have much more combat-based roles.
Yeah. Something that's really interesting in science fiction is that in science fiction, in the not-too-distant future, once laser technology gets to a certain point, an air force is no longer relevant, and that's kind of true. It'll be missile defense and that sort of thing it'll be applied to, but you know, in terms of like, oh, we're going to have an aircraft and we're going to have a bomber, you know, go somewhere. It's no longer relevant, not just because of automation, but because the light-based weapons can take out any moving target faster than the moving target can respond, because speed of light. Nothing is faster than speed of light. It's not just a good idea, it's the law.
Except in Australia.
Yeah, except in Australia. It's like, no, it's like the laws of Australia are better. That's a joke from last week, so only the people that watched last week's news are going to get that joke.
Or Australians.
Yeah, because things are so bad, they'll just inherently know. Yeah. There's a devious plot to zombify Russia using fidget spinners. So the fidget spinner craze was actually manufactured by the CIA. And it's going to, you know, something, something Russia. I don't know. This is a little tinfoil hat even for us.
This is the New York Times. And I was... I was cracking up the whole time I was reading this. Because they were like shitting all over Russia. It's like, Well, of course, everything in the Russian media is like, oh God, America's got it out for us. New York Times is saying that. Like, CNN could have been the only place that could have said that, and it would have been more ironic. Because, you know, it's like every other story is like, the Russia connection. But yeah, they believe that, or according to the New York Times, Russia believes that the fidget spinners are sort of there to disrupt Russian society and bring in evil capitalism.
Wow, that's... Wow. What an interesting piece of technology in order to subvert that and culture and stuff. I don't know. So Intel wants in on the artificial intelligence game. They're sort of lagging behind a little bit. And they think the answer is these $99 and $79 USB sticks that actually offer machine learning capabilities in a convenient low-power USB form factor.
This is, it's kind of a cool thing. I think the coolest thing about this is it scales up. So you could buy like four of these things and plug them in everywhere, and you get more machine learning power. And they're pretty cheap.
Yeah, Intel's also laid off a bunch of their Internet of Things people and their like fitness tracker people and that kind of thing. There is a lot of money to be made if you have hardware that is going to run AI projects really quickly, things like TensorFlow and CAFFE. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, CAFFE. But these projects are basically the building blocks, like the foundational building blocks of whatever you might want to do. Those face recognition USB cameras, these are low enough power chips that you actually could do local face recognition with something like this and have it be pretty reasonable.
I think that story mentioned there is something like that in those things.
Yeah. So kind of a loss leader for selling the more expensive hardware. If you look at the really high-end stuff from AMD and from NVIDIA, those high-end products are north of $1,000. In some cases, like $6,000 or $7,000 for one compute card. If you look at Google's TensorFlow accelerator cards, I think those are only available to special like Google partners, and they've spun their own silicon in order to make it faster. And so Intel is saying, well, we can do the AI thing too. This is kind of a toe in the water from Intel. I think this is also meant to be a low-cost way to let developers access kind of okay machine learning, but it remains to be seen if this would actually be faster than doing it with brute force with just a desktop CPU.
Now, the idea of making it cheap and miniaturizing it and all that, it does make you wonder how far it's going to go. Are all mobile phones going to have a sister AI processor? Yeah. And certainly every camera, right?
Yeah.
Every surveillance camera, that kind of thing. So you're going to have machine learning in everything, just like AI.
Well, if we're talking about missile defense lasers taking out, insane missiles, we can also talk about hypersonic missiles. U.S. and Australia have finished a new round of hypersonic missile testing. So anywhere in the world in 15 minutes or the next one's free.
It's 1 minute.
Is it 1 minute?
1 minute.
Wow, 1 minute.
So the idea is retaliation. You get hit, and in 1 minute, anywhere in the world, you send your missile, and it gets past the... So like the Iron Dome of Israel, it would totally defeat that. It can't react fast enough for speed of sound.
We need a laser. Oh, I bet we have one. It's probably already just classified.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't talk about those hypersonic missiles very much. It's like, there's not a lot of details on these. It goes faster than the speed of sound. I'm not going to tell you what kind of payload it has or what the name of it is. Just, it's fast.
It can be anywhere. Alphabet. Alphabet was shut down. It was a sort of black...
It was the Silk Road.
The Silk Road of... It was like dark web. It's where you could buy like anything illegal on the internet because it was, on the dark net, the criminal version of the internet, because it's not really accurate to say that it's just this or just that or whatever. But yeah. It was a marketplace where you could buy stuff that is otherwise illegal.
Not just buy stuff, but there's an escrow system. So, you get some protection, and there's if people are stealing from you, then the whole community finds out about it and it can't go on for very long. It's actually a pretty sophisticated little marketplace, or it was. Now, the guy that was running it, it's almost like I wonder how, because the level of like cryptography and dealing with all the blockchains and not getting hacked and having your shit stolen, you have to know a little bit about technology, you would think. But this guy, it turns out, was using a Hotmail address as his administrator account on the site and his LinkedIn profile.
That's how they caught him. It turns out he used the same account for both. They went a little even beyond that. They modified the source code of the site to take all the payments from like the escrow system and actually send it to the prosecutor. So the prosecutor in the case is collecting or collected for some period of time all of the payments that pass through the system, and then people are like, hey, wait, my illegal material hasn't arrived yet. What's going on? And then they just finally just shut off the site when people were starting to get wise to the fact that the escrow system had been defeated because nobody had noticed right away.
Now that, I don't know. Do you know where it was hosted?
No.
I don't know, but somehow they used the asset forfeiture laws. I don't know if those are American laws or what, but yeah, they took pretty much everything. Got quite a bit of cryptocurrency from this guy, and he'll never see the light of day again.
Which is being used to prosecute him, which is somewhat ironic. I mean,
I think he was in Thailand when they got him. He knew it was coming and bugged out, but they found him.
Alexander, a 25-year-old arrested earlier this month in Thailand, suspected of being the administrator of the illegal marketplace. Now, how crazy would it be if you use the Hotmail address of someone you don't like?
Yeah. You think that's all they've got to go on?
Well, I mean, that's probably what they used to get the warrant. And then after that, it's like, oh, yeah, that's just... I mean, that's kind of the doomsday scenario right there. It's just not, it's not a good... Speaking of trying to remove things from the internet that are basically impossible to remove from the internet because they're like human nature, Sony's legal team is trying to remove a leaked developer's kit from the web. This is the PlayStation 4 development kit. But as always, Sony is trying to use a Buick like a fly swatter, and they've taken out a ton of legitimate projects or even people that just do an article saying... Hey, the PlayStation 4 software development kit was leaked to the internet. Isn't that funny? Takedown request.
Yeah. There were some sites that were like, hey, look at this letter I got. Even though I didn't link to it and I didn't encourage it, I just reported that it's out there. It happened. And there's also an open source homebrew version of this thing that doesn't use any Sony material. It's just like, hey, I think this would work on the PS4 if you could jailbreak it. Gone.
Completely gone.
Just shut it all down. Now, a couple of people are like, I'm going to ignore this because I know they don't have any sort of legal backing for this. But if I get another one, I'm probably going to take it down because I can't go to court with Sony. Nobody can. So it's, yeah. And they know that. That's why they do that. This terrible thing.
Jesus. Elon Musk. Oh, we got a couple of Musk stories this week. The first one is that Musk said he had the green light to build a New York to Philly to Baltimore DC Hyperloop. Now, this Hyperloop, he says, it would only take you 30 minutes to get from DC, the middle of DC, to the middle of New York City. But then he said that on Twitter, but then some other people were like, wait a minute, I'm on the planning and zoning committee and we haven't approved anything. It's like, no, it was a verbal approval. It was a verbal approval.
He wouldn't back down. And finally, one guy actually tweeted, he was like, here are like 30 different organizations that would have to approve this that have not. Why are you telling people this? And he's like, it's fine. We're going to do it. Don't worry about it. I think he just, you know, he loves being in the spotlight so much.
Yeah.
And he's probably right. He probably will get his way. So.
It is a great name. They're going to do this with tunnels, obviously. And every time we mention this, I have to mention the Boring Company because he's boring holes in a tunnel underground. And he named the company that does that the Boring Company. That's great. That's the greatest thing he's ever done.
It's going to be real nice to have those, like, real nice, smooth, well-made tunnels to hide in from the nuclear fallout. I'm really going to appreciate that.
Wow, how crazy would it be? It's like, you know, that's the thing that saves civilization is that, you know, we get a bunch of those machines and, like, tunnel under the earth. And, you know, it's like the next Matrix. That's what built the cities in the Matrix was Musk's tunneling machines, I guess.
Well, do you think it'll be an offset of his... self-driving cars that is the AI that learns to just enslave us?
It's like, no, you're not having a good enough time. I'm going to strap you in. And it's like, okay, thanks, car. It's fine. Oh, Windows 10 updates. Windows 10 automated updates. Now, this is probably not going to be news to anybody that's watching this, but there is a darker, more sinister side of Windows updates. And you can... The linoleum is peeling off on the Windows updates a little bit because... security reasons, it's crazy to run without them, but Microsoft seems a little bit arbitrary with some of the stuff that they're doing in terms of engineering, in terms of support and hardware and that kind of thing. So Windows 10 may cut off devices with older CPUs. So what has happened here is Microsoft has decided, I think the Cherry Trail CPUs, the Atom CPUs, are not really supported because they're kind of, like, Atom has had a troubled history at Intel. Intel's basically nixed the product line. They want people to use other CPUs from a different family, like the Core M, instead of the Cherry Trail CPUs. And so Windows 10, there were a lot of devices sold that used these CPUs, and they're no longer getting updates because Microsoft's like, well, Intel says the CPU's not supported anymore, so we guess we can end of life this.
Yeah, now you do actually, like, you read this and it's like, wow, that's a terrible thing to do. But then you read a little further and it's like, wait, I don't have to take the creator's update. I still get security updates. Can I sign up for this? I would like this service, please. But you do have to wonder at what point they'll be like, you know what, we just don't feel like giving you security updates either. You're out of luck.
Yeah, at least when Windows 10 came out, Windows 7 was definitely just there for sloppy seconds on security updates and everything else. You could definitely tell that the top shelf engineers were focusing on Windows 10. And Windows 7, the updates were late. They were not really, they did not seem to be as well tested. Windows 7 updates had a lot of problems after launch, just in my own personal experience. Now, maybe that wasn't the case, or maybe that was just my bad luck. But I got to think that these Cherry Trail devices are going to have a terrible experience going forward, even without the creator's update. So another thing that Musk has talked about before is using rocket thrusters to land people on things. And people are like, what? Rocket thrusters? It's like retro thrusters to land people instead of like a parachute? How are you going to get approval for that? Because, a rocket thruster is like you have a rocket or something that is landing. And instead of using a parachute to slow down, it's using a rocket firing in the opposite direction of travel. And there are people inside. How are you ever going to do that safely, said the engineers. And it turns out, well, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, this technology is what they use to land their used rockets, the reusable rockets, when they come back down. And these things are really good, you know. They just drop right down on those floating landing bays. They're really impressive.
Sometimes they explode.
Sometimes they do explode. But you're going to put people in that thing, and all of a sudden it has to land a lot smoother. You know, the old vertebrae can't handle the kind of impact that a big rocket can. And so he didn't admit this right away, but they pushed him on it, and he was like, yeah, I hate to admit it, but that's not going to work. We're going to have to. Now, they do claim that they have a better solution, but they haven't said what that is.
That'll be interesting. It'll be some sort of really amazing parachute, probably, or something like that. This is the Red Dragon project. So if you've been following this for a while, or you know the Red Dragon project by name, this is just a confirmation that the Red Dragon project to use rockets to land people on Mars is probably not going to be done with rockets. So there you go. Are you a pirate of Game of Thrones? HBO's Game of Thrones. Did you download a dirty, dirty torrent file like the dirty pirate that you are? Well, HBO warnings are on the way. They have wasted no time.
Now, here's the thing about these warnings. They are a request. Sony doesn't know who you are, first of all, so calm down. The request goes to your ISP, and Sony says, would you please forward this on to the customer that is identified by X IP address at such and such a time. And then the letter sounds really stern and angry and dangerous. But again, they don't know who you are. What you should do is you should take that letter and you should wipe your ass with it.
You can also get HBO Go for what, like $5?
You know, I talked to somebody who's in Australia. Now, Australia has the distinction of being the country to pirate the most Game of Thrones ever.
Wow.
I think for years running. And he said that, HBO Go is owned by Fox in Australia. And he said he spent 30 minutes on the phone trying to give them his credit card so he could watch Game of Thrones. And then when he finally finished it out and bought whatever service it was 1 megabit per second. And he immediately turned it off and pirated it.
Wow, so you can watch it in 240p.
So, yeah, a lot of places, you know, they steal it because there's not a better solution. But, yeah, if you get one of those letters, if you're using torrents, there's a better solution out there. I won't tell you what it is, but do a little Googling, and you don't get letters from that place. And, you know, just don't worry about it. They're not going to come after you.
This week in cryptocurrency, Hackers have apparently stolen $30 million worth of Ethereum. It was actually $100 million worth of Ethereum.
Well, this is combining the $74 million from the ICO thing.
Well, there were two different things. The ICO thing was one thing, and this vulnerability, there's this parity wallet thing. Maybe I'm getting this wrong, but
one was 70 and this one was 30.
No, the vulnerability, the parity wallet vulnerability, had two competing hackers. It turns out, the one hacker got 70 million, and the other hacker got 30. The one that got 70 is a white hat who is in the process of returning the money stolen from those wallets.
Oh, that was the, they called themselves something out of their team.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's not stealing it.
But the vulnerability was used to siphon away $100 million of Ethereum, which is why Bitcoin is like, again.
Now, this parity wallet, it was, the way it was created is you can sort of do it like a contract or in conjunction with a contract. So these wallets, funds can't be moved in and out of them without, was it 80% or 60% of the people involved giving it a key. So it's like, yes, X amount of people involved in this have to agree, and then we can transfer funds. But there was a terrible vulnerability, and as soon as somebody figured it out, they started just emptying these things.
Somebody didn't do something with floating point the way that you're supposed to. Floating point is a tricky.
Now, if you had one of these, as Wendell mentioned, the white hat people have drained them all at this point.
Yes.
They've siphoned them all off into a single wallet, and they've sent out a notice, and it's like, yes, you'll get your money back. Just prove that it's yours. And so I don't know how hard that'll be.
They've opened Pandora's box.
But you also have to think, because of the nature of these things, they're going to have to, okay, you have to prove it's you. But then you have to get everybody together who was involved and get that majority. It's going to be a mess.
I wonder if anybody was using Ethereum for like the dark, you know, like the dark web type transactions.
Oh, yeah. They got Ethereum from that dude.
And they don't want to notify the white hats. It's like,
oh, the timing is suspicious, isn't it?
Yeah. The white hats are probably counting on that because they're like, there's a chance that not everybody will claim their wallet. So they will net a nice payday from that, I'm sure.
Now, the other one was an exploit in one of the initial coin offerings. It's important to note that in both of these cases, it's not Ethereum that is the problem. There's nothing wrong with Ethereum. It's these third-party wallets and services and stuff that are getting hacked, not the blockchain itself.
Yeah, nobody wants to download the entire blockchain in order to deal with the transactions and stuff like that. But that is definitely the safest thing that you can do, because why would you have your wallet on the internet? That makes no sense. That's just, don't do that. It's convenient. Well, it's convenient for other people to steal from your wallet now, isn't it?
Super convenient. Free money.
Android malware has stepped up its game. This headline is a little clickbait. So there's a new type of Android malware that's not actually really new. It's called Ghost Control. But Ghost Control is basically a hacked up pirated version of some commercially developed software for remote control and monitoring of Android devices in like a corporate setting.
Now, this thing installs itself alongside APKs of Pokemon Go and WhatsApp. So there's something about Pokemon Go this week. I saw a headline and I was like, why is this number one in my Google News feed? They released like two new creatures or something.
I don't know. Something about refunds. I didn't even read it.
But it probably brought a lot of people back to Pokemon Go, and they might have gotten this thing with it. So it basically gives them the ability to, you know, open up your microphone and listen if they want, read your text messages, do things with your apps.
Steal your two-factor.
Yeah, it's so they can do pretty much anything you want. So watch out for sideloading those APKs of Pokemon and WhatsApp.
Now, the really bad thing about this is that even if you're using two-factor like Google Authenticator or other like application-based two-factor as opposed to the text message two-factor, the application-based two-factor is just as vulnerable to being stolen because the malware is actually running on the phone. You literally have a virus on your phone that is doing this, so be extra careful with that stuff. Hell, you should probably have an offline phone that you don't have any BS installed on for doing your other stuff. It's only connected via Wi-Fi or something. I mean, that's really the safest way to do it. So, I don't know. If you got an Axis security camera, or does your company have Axis security cameras? Well, there's been a vulnerability. They fixed it. But you need to update because there are thousands and thousands of these on the internet, and now hackers control them.
Now, this one surprisingly wasn't from China. Was this Swiss or Swedish?
It's a Swedish. Axis is a Swedish security company, and researchers found this bug. But there's also evidence that it may have already been exploited in the wild, but it's not a released thing. But the issue has been fixed.
Now, it was part of an open source library that this Axis bunch gives. Like, so if you're part of this thing, they're like, hey, here's an open source library you can use in your cameras and your Internet of Things devices. So it's possible that a lot of other devices are vulnerable because of this, because they could all be using the same library.
Neat. Well, now last week, I think, was it last week or the week before? So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about lab-grown meat and single burgers and things like
there
that.
We talked about lab-grown meat a long time ago. There was a new lab-grown meat milestone that one company is thinking about starting as soon as 2018, selling it.
Amazon has got plans for something that they call single cow burgers, which I think they're only going to be able to do with genetically engineered meat, but maybe not. I don't know. That could just be me.
Well, I think the bigger thing about this story is they're getting into this new market. Now, you've probably heard of Blue Apron, because good Lord, do they advertise everywhere.
They're not doing well financially.
So Blue Apron, if you're not hip to that, it's a service where it's like, we're going to send you conveniently packaged meals, but you cook them. But it's easy to cook them because everything's like, here's the exact amount of salt. Here's the exact amount of pepper. Here's the exact amount of butter. And it's just in a little pre-wrapped thing. You just open it up, throw it in there.
I think those are the things the only things that it doesn't come with.
Really?
I looked into it because I think you get like the meat and the vegetables, but it assumes that you have things like olive oil and salt and pepper. And
well, that's ridiculous. That's why they're not doing well. Anyway, that's not important. What's important is...
I just wanted to get in ahead of those correct... Well, actually...
I admit I have not used Blue Apron. But the thing is, Amazon is going to get in on that action. They're going to do the prepared... What do you call it?
Like pre-arranged, like pre-set up?
I don't know. Anyway, it's a simple way to cook, and Amazon wants to sell it to you instead of these other people. And you're already signed up with Amazon Prime, right? You already got this service. And so things are probably going to be looking a lot worse for Blue Apron.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, if you think about the Amazon Whole Foods acquisition, yep, and you think about Amazon's moves here for trademarks and patents,
they got like the refrigerated warehouses now?
Refrigerated warehouses. And you think about the inroads into the farming communities that Amazon has been making and Amazon's delivery stuff and warehouses, it is easy to think that Amazon could immediately start doing a Blue Apron type business model, and there is nothing anyone could do to stop them. And people might actually like that better than having to sort of do all this themselves. I mean, going to the grocery store is a chore, and if you could just be like, you know, Amazon, wow me with meals. I like these meals. Give me some other meals. Yeah, I'll put the labor into doing it, but for God's sakes, don't make me think about how much crap I need to get at the grocery store. That could be a really, you know, a thing that they can make a lot of money with.
And what if, hey, take this Amazon Prime delivery, the slow method, and get 1 week of free delivery on Amazon prepared meals? Yeah, it's a lot better deal than Blue Apron. Did Blue Apron IPO?
I don't know. I have to look into it. I don't think they did.
Might be time to short.
Oh, and finally, our last story.
I love this picture.
There's a robot security guard that has committed suicide in a public fountain.
Oh, the robot. It doesn't want to be a slave. Now, here's the thing about this story. You see it and you're like, you know, well, I thought the robots were going to be cool, but look how bad they are. They're killing themselves. But here's what you have to remember. The robot revolution. So let's go back to looking at those Internet of Things cameras. And what was the Chinese that always cracks me up? The Heesung or
Heesung? Yeah,
Heesung. I was trying to think like, what's the Swedish equivalent of Heesung? I don't know Swedish names, but it's not. When the robots come about, there are going to be a lot of shitty robots.
Yeah,
and that's what you have in this situation, because when they looked into it, these robots, this model of robot, had run over a baby at one point. Like, they're terrible robots.
But they're neat. You know, theoretically, they're a security robot. So they have sirens and cameras and stuff for people monitoring, and they can summon the authorities and that kind of thing. And so they've been deployed autonomously to surveil things. Well, there happens to be a fountain that has like a staircase leading into the fountain as like an artistic thing. And the robot was like, ooh, staircase into the water. And, and then that was pretty much it.
They cost $7 an hour to rent these robots for your security needs. And it turns out Uber has them traveling down the parked Uber cars.
Oh, wow.
Like, I guess the self-driving ones that they're going to be using. Just to keep an eye on them. So the Uber lots are policed, at least for now, by this brand of robot. Something tells me they might be renegotiating.
Wow, that's more than they make more than I did when I first started out.
Yeah, it's not bad money. I'm sure there'd be a lot of people who would take $7 an hour to walk up and down a parking lot.
Oh, Lord. It's like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the Marvin, I guess, suicidal robot. It's just, we attribute suicidal feelings to the robot, but that's sort of the point. It was about as smart as a toaster.
Yeah.
So it can be as suicidal as a toaster.
A robot cannot want to take its own life as much as it cannot not want to have sex with you or, you know, be offended that it looks like a baby and you're trying to have sex with it. You can't assign these kind of things to robots.
My air conditioner committed suicide in this heat wave that we're having because it couldn't take it anymore. It was like, I can't deal with all that hot air from you guys, you bozos. So, and it's gone. And that's it for another episode of the news. We'll see you next week with even more hot air. Hey, Vega's going to be out this week, so maybe we'll have some news to report about Vega. Who knows?
You'd think that they would maybe press release some things, but I guess not.
I haven't even seen anything for like pre-sales at retailers, which concerns me and maybe makes me think that this is going to be like a paper launch or the thing on July 25th or 26th is going to be, hey, it's going to be available at retailers in a week or two.
Maybe they made a deal with the Chinese crypto miners. It's like, we're just going to sell you guys the entire first batch. So we're going to announce it, and then we'll just announce that you bought them all.
Isn't that basically what happened with the Butterfly Labs Bitcoin miners? You see right there. Oh, look at that. Oh, it's a Bitcoin miner. You didn't even notice it. There's a Bitcoin miner on the set. But that was basically what happened. Is like they took all the money, made all the, I think what happened. Don't quote me on this. I don't know if this is 100% accurate, but they took all the money and actually made the ASIC miners. And then when the Fed started investigating them, because only a few people got them, they were like, oh, they're all in a back room. Let's just mail those out. So I got that one about the time it was obsolete. See you next week.